faith and deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if people claim to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that people are justified by what they do and not by faith alone. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Now, if you do have your Bible with you this morning, please do turn back to James chapter 2 and verses 14 through to 24 as we look at this passage this morning. Now, as we begin this morning's reflection on James chapter 2, I want you just for a moment to imagine a scenario. And the scenario is that a friend of yours has written off their car in an accident that wasn't their fault. Fortunately, they are unhurt, and the friend has insurance, but the insurance isn't going to cover the cost of the car. However, they really need a car each day to get to work, and they don't have enough money to afford one. What do you do? Do you comfort your friend? Say how sorry you are for them and wish them well? Now, incidentally, that's a good thing to say, isn't it? Nothing wrong with that, in giving a bit of comfort and a bit of empathy. But is that all that you do? Or do you do something? Do you say, "I'm really sorry with what happened to you, and here is £200 towards getting a new car"? Because in that scenario, if you can afford it, that is words put into action, isn't it? Now, this morning we turn back to our series in the book of James, and in many ways this morning's passage is at the heart of this letter, as James writes about faith and deeds, or faith and actions. Now, as we've already seen, this book is an intensely practical book with practical advice. You can never accuse James of being so heavenly minded that he's of no earthly use, because it's quite clear from what James says in this letter that to be of earthly use, you have to be heavenly minded. James is very much about faith and deeds working together, and there not being a separation between the two. Now, our passage today in James chapter 2 verse 14 starts with a question, where James says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" Now, the first thing I want to think about today is true faith is more than what we say. True faith is more than what we say. Now, we're not too sure in this letter as to who James is writing to, because he isn't specific. But we can guess that this was probably a real issue in the early church, i.e. someone who claims to have faith and yet their deeds don't show it. And actually, the question that is raised here is as much an issue in the church today as it would have been in the time that James was writing. Because the question that is being posed is whether someone can have faith but not show it in their actions, and whether that is true faith at all. That's the big question that's being posed and is being examined here. And James says that true faith is more than mere platitudes. It's more than mere good intentions. And he uses the example in verses 15 and 16 of someone, a brother and or sister in Christ, who's without clothes and daily food. And someone says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed." But they don't do anything for this brother or sister's obvious need. And James says very bluntly, well, what good is that? Because actually, it's of no good, is it? And James goes on to say that in the same way, faith itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. It's not a living faith. So faith is more than what we say. Now, as we've already seen in this book, James follows Jesus very closely in his teaching. And what he says here is nothing more than Jesus himself said in the parable of the Good Samaritan, for example. Because remember in that parable, when the man was beaten up as he's making the journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, and when he's left for dead, remember that there are two people who find him on that road. Firstly, there's the priest, and he passes by on the other side. Then there is a Levite. He also passes by on the other side. Men who proclaimed that they would help people probably in that situation. And yet when push came to shove, they did nothing for him. But then, of course, who comes by? A Samaritan. Samaritans, of course, who were hated by the Israelites. And he was the one who stopped, who cared for the man, and who was a true neighbour to him. You see, our faith is to be accompanied by action. True faith is more than what we merely say. But James then goes on to develop this further by saying, secondly, true faith is more than what we believe. Now, don't misunderstand this part, because what we believe is, of course, really, really important, isn't it? That's why we have confessions of faith. Remember the Church of Scotland, when you joined the Church of Scotland as a member, if you are a member of the Church of Scotland, that you say that the Bible is your primary authority, but the secondary standard is the Westminster Confession of Faith. Confessions of faith and creeds are really, really important. We need to know what we believe as Christians. But believing the right things does not necessarily mean that we are right with God. Because what does James say in verse 19? He says, "You believe in one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." You see, the demons believe that there is one God. The demons would be Trinitarian. They're doctrinally sound on that point, aren't they? But even though they're doctrinally sound, they shudder. Because they believe the right thing, but they don't submit to the one God, the Trinitarian God that they know that there is. And the same can be true for us, can't it? We can believe the right things in our minds. We can have all the head knowledge in the world, but unless it really grips our hearts, then it means nothing. And we probably haven't gripped what faith is really about at all. And James goes on to give another example. And he gives the example of Abraham, one of the heroes of the faith, of course. And James shows how Abraham's faith and actions work together. When the Lord tested him by asking him to sacrifice his only son Isaac. Remember how Abraham had waited for so many years to have a son and an heir. And finally, at the age of 100, Isaac was born. And now, a number of years later, the Lord was saying, look, put Isaac to death. Now, in Abraham's mind, that would have made no sense whatsoever. And yet the Lord wanted to see where his heart was. Now, of course, if we know that story, we know, of course, that Isaac was spared. But this whole episode showed where Abraham's heart was, that he truly trusted in the Lord, that he loved the Lord, and he wanted to put the Lord first in all that he did. Abraham trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so James says in verse 24, the last one in our reading today, a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Now, when we hear those last words, we might think to ourselves, hold on, we might scratch our heads a little. Because we might think to ourselves, I know somewhere else in the Bible and that seems to be a contradiction. Because what does Paul say? I'm sure Paul says somewhere that we can only be saved by faith alone. And of course he would be right. Because Paul says in Romans 3 verse 28 that a person is justified by faith and not by the works of the law. And yet James is saying here, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. I'm sure you can see the apparent contradiction here. And you can probably see why Martin Luther, who was so key in the Reformation, of course, thought that the book of James was an epistle of straw. Because his great rediscovery, if you like, was that Christians are justified by grace, through faith alone and not through works. Now, of course, Luther, in promoting that view and rediscovering grace and faith alone, it was very much a reaction against what was happening in his culture at the time and what was happening in the church at that time. Because the church at that time believed that people were saved by their good works. So how can we reconcile this? Who's right? Is it Paul or is it James? Well, it's no cop-out to say that both are right and there is no contradiction. You see, Paul says that we are saved by genuine faith in Jesus. But James says that the sign of genuine faith is that it results in real, measurable changes in our lives. If we can't see how our faith has changed us, there is a good chance that we never had genuine faith in the first place. One of the other reformers, Philip Melanchthon, said on this matter, we're saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that remains alone. And that's key, isn't it? You see, faith that doesn't reveal itself in a changed lifestyle that glorifies God and has compassion on others is dead and worthless. We're saved by faith alone because we're all sinners who need God's grace because we cannot save ourselves. But we don't have a saving faith if there is no evidence of change in our lives. So we see this morning that true faith is more than what we say. True faith is more than what we believe. But the fact is, thirdly, you can tell you have real faith by how it's changed your life. If you want assurance about your faith, you can see your faith through how your life has changed. You see how God has been at work in your life and how God has changed your heart. You see, as Jesus says, a bad tree bears bad fruit, but a good tree bears good fruit. It cannot be that a good tree bears bad fruit. If you have put faith in Jesus, it's going to change you. It's going to change your life dramatically. You won't be perfect, but over time you will see real change. It will change the way that you see people. It will change your heart for God. James says if you don't see that happening in your life, you may say that you believe, but actually you don't have true faith. There is a phone company whose motto is never settle, i.e. never settle for anything less than what you could have with their brand of phone. Don't settle for saying that you just believe this morning. Don't settle for mental assent to a set of doctrines, because even the demons are monotheists and Trinitarians. I say to you this morning, encounter Jesus. Receive his grace in your life. Put your faith and trust in him and be changed. And as you are changed, you will bear good fruit in your life. People will see the difference and your life will never be the same. Shall we just join together in prayer? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And we see how clear James is on these various points. That faith is more than what we say. That faith is more than what we believe. But faith is putting our faith into action. It's faith and action working together. And Lord God, we recognize in our own lives that if we truly love you, if we truly have put our faith in you, then our lives will be changed from top to bottom, that we will be completely turned around, because we will be a people who want to serve you, who want to put you first in our lives, and who are looking out for the needs of others. Lord God, we recognize in our lives that there have always been times when perhaps we have said mere platitudes to people, when really we should have done something practical, where we should have lived out our faith in action. And we ask, Lord God, that as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, that we might be a people who respond to your grace, and we would show love and care and compassion to other people. So, loving Lord God, we ask that you would speak to us through your word this day. And as we understand all you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be a people who are passionate for you, a people who want to live out our lives for you and for your glory and for your honour and for your praise. So, loving Lord God, be close beside us now, we pray, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.